I am going to look at a few verses. For time's sake, I won't ask you to turn to each one. I'm going to take three different portions of Scripture and look at them. The first in Matthew 1:21, the command concerning the birth of Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. I mentioned, if you were here on Wednesday night, that unless the Lord changed my mind this morning, I would be preaching on Jesus. And that's exactly what I'm preaching on today. And I think that we need to talk about him. We need to preach about him. Need to sing about him. Need to tell others about him. His name is the name that makes the difference. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We know in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 concerning that name Jesus, the Bible says, and there is salvation in none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians went on to say in chapter 2 and verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm preaching this morning on the simple subject, there is a name. My name can't do much for you. And you may know the name of a lot of important people, but they can't do for you what the name of Jesus can do for you. The significance of that name was given by by Christ himself when he told us, in the manner in which we are to pray, we're not only to pray, but we're to pray in his name. And whatsoever things you ask in his name, that's the answer to our prayers. You can't pray in my name and get any results. You can't pray in the name of your church. You can't pray in the name of religion. But when we pray in the name of Jesus, we know there is power in that name, because God has ordained not only the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, but given us that name. Isn't it something that if you speak the name of other religious leaders, it doesn't seem to be a problem in our society? Many years ago, I was contacted to be a part of an event. It was a secular event, and they had asked me to pray at that particular event. And then when I agreed to pray, they sent me through a guideline on how to pray. And basically, the guideline said you can pray any way you want to pray as long as you don't refer or use the name Jesus. I didn't go. Because there's no need to pray if you can't pray in his name. No prayer will ever be answered without praying in his name. Every prayer should be signed with the name of Jesus. Dr. R.G. Lee said concerning his name blossoms. The pages of history, like a thousand springtimes rolled into one bouquet. His name sounds down through the quarters of the ages of centuries, like the music of all the choirs, visible and invisible, poured forth into one anthem. Where his name, the name of Jesus, is mentioned, there's hospitals for the sick, homes for the orphans, schools for the young. Through faith in his name, millions have been transformed. The songwriter said, drunkards are made sober, liars are made truthful, thieves are made honest, hypocrites are made sincere, hard hearts are made tender, hatred is changed to love, and cruelty changed to sympathy. His nail-pierced hands cut through the channels of history of time and changed the almanac of the world and swung the gates of empires off their hinges when the name of Jesus has been spoken. B.R. Lakin, that great old preacher, Dr. Lakin, used to say he never wrote a book, but hundreds of thousands of volumes have been written about him. His words have been translated into over 1,000 languages and dialects. He composed no music, yet thousands of songs have been written acclaiming him Lord. He built no sanctuary. Yet millions of churches, chapels, and cathedrals have been built in which to worship him. He built no hospital, but his followers, through the agency of the Christian church, have erected institutions of healing and mercy around the world to care for the sick and needy. He had no formal schooling, and yet most of the great institutions of learning around the world were founded by his constituents. He raised no army, but those who would fight for his truth and principles the world over can be numbered in the millions. Before the foundations of this world were ever laid and the morning stars ever sang together, Jesus Christ was foreordained to come to this world. There's never been a life to compare to his life. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he controlled nature and walked on the storms and on the seas. He was born in a manger and grew up in Nazareth, slept in another man's bed, sailed in another man's boat, was buried in another man's tomb. He also went through a mock trial, drank the bitter cup, wore a crown of thorns, felt the lash of the Roman whip. He knew what loneliness was. They crucified him on a cruel tree. But yet after he died, he went down to the quarters of the damned, plucked the sting out of death, robbed the grave of its victory, led captivity captive. And there with the sainted dead in grand possession, he climbed the golden staircase of the stars, picked up the everlasting scepter and sat down on his throne and declared, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive now and forevermore. Thank God, there is a name, and his name is Jesus. He is our Lamb to redeem us. He is our brother to save us. He is our tower to secure us. He is the fountain to cleanse us. He is the bread to sustain us. He's the wisdom to guide us and the star to direct us. There is a name, Dr. James Crumpton. If I mention that name, a lot of you probably have never even heard his name. But Dr. James Crumpton, in his lifetime, according to his son, preached over the subject, the name of Jesus, over 400 times in his ministry. He preached a sermon on Jesus. And in that particular sermon, he went through the various aspects of the Bible. He was just an orator. There's no other word for it. He had a way with the king's language and mastered the king's language. And he pastored for many years down in Mississippi. And when he started to record about Jesus, I ran across one of his old writings the other day. And this is what he said. Jesus is the Adam, the advocate, the anointed, the apostle, the author, the amen, the alpha, the ancient of days, the Adonai, the almighty God. Jesus is the beginning, the begotten, the beloved, the branch, the bread, the bridegroom, the bright and the morning star, the bishop of our soul and the brightness of his Father's glory. Jesus is the captain, the consolation, the chief cornerstone, the counselor, the covenant, the chosen of God, and the Christ. Jesus is the daysman, the deliverer, the day spring, the day star, the door, and the desire of all nations. Jesus is the elect, the everlasting Father, the Emmanuel, the Elohim, and the El Shaddai. Jesus is the finisher of our faith, the forerunner, the friend, the first fruits, the faithful witness, the fountain of life issuing out of the cave of death. Jesus is God, the gift of God, the governor, the guide, and the glorious Lord. Jesus is the help, the hope, the horn of salvation, the healer, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, the Holy One. He's heaven's wonder and hell's dread. Jesus is the I am, the inheritance, the image of God, the immortal, the invisible, and the intercessor. Jesus is the Judah, the judge, and the justifier. Jesus is the King of Israel, the King of kings, Kings, the King Everlasting, the King of Glory, the King of Salem, the King of the Saints, the King of the Righteous, the King of Zion, and the King of Peace. Jesus is the life, the light, the love, the lily, the lion, the lamb, the lawgiver, and the living stone. Jesus is the Lord of glory, the Lord of hosts, the lovely Lord, the Lord most precious, the Lord of righteousness, the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Lord of hosts. Jesus is the messenger, the Messiah, the mediator, the master, and the mighty God. Jesus is the Nazarene, the Nazarite, and the number one of all time and eternity. Jesus is the offspring of David, the Omega, the only begotten of God, the offering, the offer, the one altogether lovely, the great omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient one. Jesus is the priest, the Passover, the potentate, the prophet, the propitiation, the prince of life, the prince of peace, and the physician. Jesus is the quickener of the dead and the quickener of the spirit. Jesus is the righteous, the rabbi, the ransom, the rest, the root of Jesse, the root of David, the refiner, the refuge, the resurrection, the rose of Sharon. When he penned these words, I tell you, I got so blessed. He said, as the rose of Sharon, he blossoms in the shades of hell, whose sweat, tears, and blood quench for all believers the fire of hell and clothe the crater of damnation with foliage, fruit, and flowers. Jesus is the ruler, the redeemer, the rock of ages, the regenerate breath, rekindling the dead fires of the soul's altar and restoring the broken strings of the heart and tuning them to heaven's harmony. Jesus is the stone, the shepherd, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the shield, the servant, the seed of woman, the surety, the sufferer, the Savior, the sinless sacrifice, the Shiloh, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the teacher, the truth, the tabernacle, the testator, the treasure, the tree of life. Jesus is the universe's creator. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the very God. Jesus is the witness, the word, the way, the wisdom of God, the wonderful and the wonder of wonders. Jesus is the X. For any of you that know much about math, X is the unknown, but he is the unknown to an unregenerate world. Yet we that know him can say we are no longer afar off, but we've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the yearner for your soul. He is the great Yahweh. He is the yea of all things. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, A to Z. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the most wonderful of the wonderful. He's the most precious of the precious. Jesus is the most lovely of the lovely. Jesus never struck a jarring note. He never made a misstep. On him, circumstances left no fingerprints. Popularity never caused him to be loosened by one moral fiber. All of the rivers have gathered into the ocean, and as they have, even so Jesus is the ocean in which all moral excellence and spiritual pleasure meet. Even his enemies said, I can find no fault in him. He is sinless and perfect. He is the lovely and the mighty Christ beyond all comprehension. He is the sweetest carol ever sung. He is the sweetest name that mortal tongue has ever said. Blessed be the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear, and that name is the name of Jesus. I remember years ago hearing the great, great black preacher, Dr. S.M. Lockridge, preached, and he said, concerning Jesus, he's the head of the heroes, the master of the mighty, the Christ of the conquerors, the overseer of the overcomers, the leader of the legislators, the greatest of the governors, the prince of peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, his name is like honey to the taste, harmony to the ear and bread to the soul, joy to the heart. Jesus, we're washed in his blood, saved by his grace, clothed with his righteousness and crowned with his glory. Jesus, he died to redeem us. He lives to guide us and he's coming to crown us. Jesus, the world cannot understand him. Armies cannot defeat him. Leaders cannot ignore him. The Pharisees could not stop him. Herod could not kill him. Death could not handle him. The grave could not hold him. Nero could not crush him. New Age can't replace him. And Hollywood can't explain him away. Jesus came to this earth through a virgin womb and left through a virgin tomb. There's no shores to his sufficiencies, no bars to his benefits, no borders to his blessings. He would stoop to bless and to steal the crying of little children. He wipes tears of bereavement away from the eyes of a widow. By his tender mercy, transgressors are transformed. By his wonderful words, we as sinners were purified. He is our shelter in the time of storm, our sunshine in the time of darkness, our shield in the midst of battle, our strength in the time of weakness, our stronghold in the time of trouble, our supplier in the time of need. He is my friend, my redeemer, my peacemaker, my life changer, my cross bearer, my debt settler, my devil defeater, my table spreader, my need provider, my soul satisfier. He is my substitution, my redemption, my foundation, my salvation, my propitiation, my revelation, my regeneration, my reconciliation, my justification, my sanctification, my glorification. There is a name, and his name is Jesus. If you're looking for a good place to shout, you just missed it. Jesus. He is the one that no matter where you cut the pages of this book we call the Bible, it will scream the name of Jesus and it will pour forth the blood of Jesus. One old preacher said, if you can't find him on one page, turn to the next page and you'll find him twice. You'll find him throughout the Word of God. He is type and symbol of everything throughout the Bible. In Genesis, he's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In number, he's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's a prophet likened unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the despised and rejected king. But in Kings and Chronicles, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Ezra, he's the rebuilder of the temple. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the walls. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's the ever-living redeemer. Job said, I know that my redeemer liveth, and upon the latter days shall stand upon this earth. And even when the skin worm shall devour this flesh, yet with my eyes shall I see God. In Job, we know as well in Psalms that he is our shepherd. In Proverbs, he's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. In Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In Solomon, he is the chiefest among 10,000. In Isaiah, he's the one who has surely borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. Ezekiel saw him one day as the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Daniel said as well, he looked and saw him as a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and smote the great image and established a kingdom that would never cease to exist. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband to an adulterous wife. In Joel, he's the Lord of bounty. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the deliverer on Mount Zion. In Jonah, he's a foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the everlasting ruler. In Nahum, he is our stronghold in the day of trouble. I'm going to preach. in Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying out in the midst of the year, Lord, revive thy work. In Zephaniah, he's the mighty Savior. In Haggai, he's the ever-present one. In Zechariah, he is a fountain. Open the house of David for all sin and uncleanliness. In Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness, arisen with healing in his wings. There is a name, and his name is Jesus. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the miracle worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the only begotten Son of God. In Acts, he's the power of the church. In Romans, he's our justifier. In Corinthians, he's the one that shall rule until he put all enemies underfoot. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is the enemy of death. In Galatians, he's redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, it's in him whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In Philippians, he's our supplier to all of our needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he's the soon coming king. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In Timothy, he's the only mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's our blessed hope. In Philemon, he's our prayer partner. In Hebrews, he's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, with neither beginning of days nor end of life. In James, he's our physician. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Doesn't do any good to pray if we don't pray in Jesus' name. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd who shall come to give us a crown of glory that fades not away. In John, he is love. In Jude, he is vengeance. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation. It was the Lord's day, and John said, I was in the Spirit of the Lord, and I heard a voice behind me as the voice of many wonders, and I fell as though I was dead. But he came and touched me, raised me up, and said, John, write, for these words are true and faithful. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John, I know you're all alone here on this isle, but look at that sun. I was here before the first ray of sunlight was ever penciled across the blackness of the universe, and I'll still be here when the sun becomes as black as the sackcloth of hair. John, this island you're standing on, I was here before the islands ever sprung forth from the deeps of the ocean, and I'll be here when every island is moved out of its place and the sky is rolled back like a scroll, every star has fallen from its socket. I'll still be here. I am alive now and forevermore. John, there is a name, and his name is Jesus. No artist can capture his character. No sculptor can find marble white enough to express the brightness of his countenance. No poet can compose verses that will venerate his person. No orator can speak the words that describe his majesty, his magnificence, and his might. History is his story. Taking Jesus out of history is like taking matter out of physics, heat out of fire, fragrance out of flowers, numbers out of mathematics. Many have tried to get rid of Jesus, but they've always failed. You can't destroy him with fire. He refuses to burn. You can't drown him with water. He'll walk on the water. You can't destroy him with a strong wind. He'll speak and cause it to stand still. You can't keep him in a grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. The old preacher said he's Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's well, Isaac's well, rather, Abraham's ram, Jacob's ladder, Issachar's burden, Balaam's Shiloh, Moses' rod, Joshua's sun and moon that stood still, Elijah's mantle and Elisha's staff, Gideon's fleece, Samuel's horn of oil, David's slingshot, Isaiah's feet poultice, Hezekiah's sundial, Daniel's vision, Amos's burden, and Malachi's son of righteousness. There is a name, and his name is Jesus. His name, and his name alone, has the power to save. I didn't say that, I read it to you today. There's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. You'll not be saved any other way except by and through Jesus. His name is a healing name. Not only for healing of the body, but healing of the emotions. Healing from the scars of sin. Healing from a wicked past that left you at the brink of eternity. The devil reminding you that it'll never be the same. But I'm here to tell you there's healing in that name. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We're no match for the enemy. We're no match for demons. We're no match for the devil. We're no match for the forces of the flesh, of the evil of this world. We're no match for kingdoms and empires that are ungodly. We're no match for dictators that disregard his name. But I'm here to tell you his name is the name that will endure with all power through the ages of time. And his name is the name that every knee shall bow to and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you get this right today? The question is not, will you one day confess that Jesus is Lord? The question is, when will you confess that Jesus is Lord? You can confess today, have your sins forgiven, your name written down in the book of life. Or you can turn him away, die without him, be in that number one day that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, only to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity, don't have to stay in your sin. There is hope because there is a name. Are you having problem with wayward family members? There is a name. Are you having shortage of income and finances? There is a name. Are you unsettled in your heart and spirit? Wounded by the pain that's been inflicted by others? There is a name. There is hope for you. His name is Jesus.